You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. I'm Pastor Craig Beeman. Loving people. Loving people. Today on Words of Encouragement.
I was just sitting there thinking about this. We've been singing about loving one another, and I just realized where are people getting that message out in our world? Where are they finding that message to love one another? Are they finding that message? Do you see that? I mean, I see some government campaigns that say, be kind. I see some private organizations out there that have done billboards urging people to be nice to each other. But where do people regularly, where do they hear a message like that, to love one another? As a pastor, I say, that's why everybody needs to be in church, amen? But that's, I mean, really, where are they hearing this message of loving one another? Because if they're not hearing it in the world, which they're not on a regular basis, I don't see it, they're going to need to hear it somewhere. And people need to hear it. And so, look, let me encourage you, invite someone to church. I'll do the same. Invite someone to church and help them to know that there is a message, the message of God that says to them, He loves them. He cares. And so do we. I want to say, before I get started though, I want to say thank you to Jared and Kitty and Dawana and Carolyn and Terry and John this morning. I just want to say that out loud. Thank you for your service. Thank you for the way that you come and you dedicate yourselves to making sure that we worship the Lord and encourage us and point us toward Jesus. It's very important. And I don't say enough of that. And I know that. And I apologize for that. But I appreciate every one of you for what you do. Loving people. Loving people. This morning. This is the second portion of our mission statement. And I want to highlight, as I said before, I want us to learn this. I want us to remember and internalize this mission statement that we have. This statement, as I said, was agreed upon just after I came, and it needs to be in our minds and our hearts at all times. Who are we? When somebody asks you, who are y'all about? What are y'all about at First Baptist Church? If they ask, you can tell them, we're about loving God, we're about loving people, we're about sharing the message of Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. And you ought to be able to say that. You ought to be able to tell people that. And when they wonder, and you know, oh, we all just meet and worship, that's all you do. Well, no, I pray that's not all we do. Oh, my goodness. It better not be all that we do. And again, this is not some statement that we just need to know and recite. It's something we need to live. It's something we need to live out in our community. Loving people. Oh boy, that's tough. It's hard sometimes to love some people, isn't it? And you, I can tell you right now, you probably have somebody in your mind, well, it's hard to love them, preacher. I know it's just hard. Well, it may be hard, but it's possible. That's what I want you to leave this morning with, that it's possible to do it. I don't want you to think, well, oh well, you know, preacher said we got to love people. Well, I'll just try. Well, no, you can do it. Because the love of God's been poured into your heart. Through His Holy Spirit, you have been enabled, you have been empowered. Yes. You can love everybody. Oh, it's hard, but you can. Yes. So today we look at the loving people portion of our mission statement. If you are able and willing, I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. This is so important. Listen to this. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. May God write. In no way do I want to diminish a business in our community, but our tire services. You know, the tire services that we have in our community, the change of tires, they got the fancy, the tools, and all that. I hear that at the house when I walk out and take the dog. And I hear that and I think, wow, to me it's just a noisy sound. It's just a sound. It's just a clang, it's like a clanging cymbal. Now, it's doing some good over there. I mean, it's doing a good deed there, though. But the noise itself is just a noise. And that's what you and I should not be, is a noise in this world. Just talk, no action. We can be loud when we say we love everybody. We can be loud when we tell our community, this is who we're about. We love God. We love people. We can be loud in saying that, but all we are is a clanging cymbal until we show that. Doesn't do anybody any good until we show it. We can talk about it. We can say it. We can say it loudly. We can proclaim it. We can get some t-shirts that have our mission statement on it. We can go out into the community and we can say it very loudly. But if we never show it, what good is it? We don't need to be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, we're going to be looking at some different passages of Scripture this morning because of the fact that this message is all through the Bible, and so there's different various places that talk about it. John chapter 13, verse 34. Now, I did not put it on the screen because I believe in enabling people to find it in their Bibles. And I believe in enabling you to open a Bible and find it yourself, because you and I need to know. We need to be able to grab a Bible and say, hey, where's John, the book of John? Oh, is it in the Old Testament? No, it's in the New Testament. That's right, in the New Testament. So John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. You'll recognize these words. First thing we're looking at is Jesus tells us to love others. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Well, wait a minute. A new commandment I give to you. A new commandment. I don't understand that. What is the new part of the commandment? Well, it brings in the part where Jesus says, even as I have loved you. That's the new part of it. This is an unconditional type of love. You're to love everybody. All right, now look, he says a new commandment, but if we just look at that part that says that you love one another, well, there you go. You're just supposed to love one another. That's what you're supposed to do. No, Jesus takes it further. And Jesus says, love others as I have loved you. Jesus looks at you and says, look, you look different than others. You have certain talents, certain gifts. You have abilities that some other people don't have. I'm choosing to love you. But he's also looking at someone else saying, you have gifts, you have abilities, but y'all are different. Well, and he's also saying to those who do not love him, I love you. I love you. You've committed sin, but I love you. You're not the most upstanding person in town, but God says, I love you. And God is saying to us through Jesus, his Son, we are to love one another even as I have loved you. What? No, because we're sinners. We've sinned. We're not worthy of his love. But God has chosen to love us even though. Boy, I get excited when I hear that news. I want to say amen with the biggest capital letter A that I can. I mean, God loves me. I am not perfect. I don't do everything right all the time. I'm not worthy of his love, but God says to me, I love you, Craig. I love you. Oh, let that set in. Goodness. Sometimes a preacher preaches to himself. He loves us. He cares about us. But this love that he cares about us with, he wants us to care about others. He wants us to take that love and love other people with that love. unconditional love. Notice, it is a command from God. Uh-oh, since it's a command, then that's something we must do. If we can accept that we have been commanded to love others, then we need to move to the next step. But first, you and I have got to realize that God has commanded us to love other people. That means we've got to look at other people. That means we've got to observe that there are other people in the world other than our families and our friends. There are people out there that are in need of His love. And we've got to open our eyes and let God look through our eyes and let us gather what He's seen when He sees people, so that when we look at people, we see the same need in their lives. This is a command from God. If we can accept the fact that He's commanded us to love others. Okay, Brother Craig, okay, that's enough. I know He wants us to love others. Fine. What's next? Well, we need to move to that next step. That would be intentionally loving others the way God loves us. If we can understand, yes, He wants us to love others. Okay, great, I know that. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Preacher. You're supposed to say all that. Well, no, I'm saying it because it's in God's Word. He wants us to love others. Well then, okay, we've got that. Well then, what do we do? How do we do that? How do we do it? We're supposed to be intentional in loving others the way God loves us. Well then, how does He love us? He loves us unconditionally. This does not mean that all people are going to heaven. That's not what this means. This means that He loves us no matter what. Because He loves us, He has provided the way for us to have our sins forgiven, to be with Him forever in heaven. Now, we may fail Him. We may fail Him, and we will fail Him. Let me tell you, we will fail Him at times, but His love will not fail us. He will never cease to love us. His love is not dependent upon how we act. Well, preacher, you just gave me a free ticket. If His love for me is not dependent on how I act, then I can do whatever I want. No, that's not what He's saying. That's not what He's saying. Sin still separates us. It messes up our relationship with Him. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in His family. But don't you want to get along with God? I want to get along with God. And so I'm going to do what He says. I'm going to try my best to do what He says. So I want to have a good relationship with God. How many of you want to have a good relationship with your friends and your family? Raise your hand. You want that? I want that. So what does that mean? That means I'm going to have to put some effort into the relationship. That means I'm going to have to do something. I can't just sit back and say, well, I just love my friends and my family and never interact with them, never have a conversation with them, never do anything for them or with them. It's not how a relationship works. God and I, we have got to have a relationship. That's what He wants of us. We may fail Him, yes, but He will never cease to love us. John continues, and in verse 35 tells us, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, God holds us accountable for our actions. God holds us accountable. And when we sin, when we say we mess up, when we sin, though, it messes up that relationship. And God says, I don't want that. I want you to get past that. I want you to come to me and say, hey, look, I messed up. I sinned. And God's going to say, yes, you did. Are you repenting of that? Are you wanting to walk away from that? If you are, good, because we got some stuff to do. We've got some things we need to handle, some things we need to do in this world. And if you're stuck in the sin, we can't do it. God wants you in good relations with Him. So how do people know that we love them? Well, we've got to show it. We've got to show it. This love is not a love that we self-manufacture. It's not a love that we have to work hard in sharing. It is a love that is flowing from God to our hearts and then to others. We must decide to use it toward others. We must decide to put it out there and to love people. We've got to do that. It should be the open-ended kind of love that we give to our spouse, the open-ended kind of love that we give to our friends. How many times have you gone in your life and forgiven your friend because they said something just idiotic? How many times have you forgiven? Have you done that? Have you forgiven a friend who has said just dumb stuff? I have. Because they're your friend. You love them. And so this same kind of love needs to be pushed out. This love of God is a love without barriers. Is it risky? Is it risky to love others with the love of God? Yes, it is. Why is it risky? Because we're going to have to use some of our time in order to do it. It's risky because we're thinking, well, I could better use my time over here. I have better things over here that I could be doing. And really, if I love somebody out in this world, you know, that's a risk on my part, because what if they don't receive the love? What if they don't acknowledge the love? And all that's in our heads. What if they, you know, why are we caring about what they do with the love that we share with them? Well, but because they need to care, but because they need to know they're loved. If you have expressed to them that you love them and you care about them, they got the message. They may not act like it. They may not receive it. They may say to you, well, I don't love you. I don't care. You have done something in sharing the love of God with them that they will not forget. It is something that is now in their life. It is something that has happened to them. How many of us go around telling about stuff that has happened to us?
Well, I was in the store yesterday and somebody just cut in line in front of me.
We acknowledge things that happen to us. We remember situations that affect us. They will remember what you have expressed to them. And so it doesn't matter how they react. We are to share God's love. We are to help them to know that they are loved. Any act of love toward another person should never... Any act of love that we share with another person should never cause us... You hear me? It's not... I should have just never done that. I should have never taken that food over there to them. I don't think they appreciated it. My goodness, I bet you they threw it out. I bet it hit the spot, huh? Had a lady in our church, last church I served, she said sometimes stuff would come and somebody would share food with her and she didn't like it. So she had a certain spot way out back in the backyard, and that's where it went. So she could honestly say, well, it hit the spot. I thought, oh my goodness. I thought, oh my. But look. We don't need to care. If we have shared God's love with someone, we've done it. There it is. And they will hear it. It will affect them. We've done the right thing. And that's the... Look, if you could put your head on the pillow at night knowing you've done something out of the love of God that's in your heart, you've done the right thing, you can rest easy. Doesn't matter if it was received well. Doesn't matter if, you know, there was not a big transformation in front of your eyes. The person suddenly, oh, you brought them something good to eat, and then suddenly they accepted Christ right in front of you. Oh, I want Jesus. Oh, my goodness. If that happened, praise God. If it doesn't, you have done the right thing anyway in sharing God's love. You've done the right thing anyway. If we've been forgiven of our sins and Christ lives inside of us, then the love of God has been poured into us. Paul tells us this in Romans, by the way of His Holy Spirit, and we're to share that love. So the first thing we see is you have been commanded. We have been commanded to love people. You've been commanded to. You and I have been commanded to love people. So there we go. We leave this church today. We've been commanded by God to love people. The second thing we see, the Bible tells us how to love others. How do we do it? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Bible says, look at this, the Bible says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Oh, wow. If I just left you today with the command to love people, if I just left you with that, I would be doing you a grave disservice. Well, God said, not God. God does say love people, but the preacher said you're supposed to follow that command of God. What did the preacher preach on Sunday? Well, he said God said we're supposed to love people. Well, good. That's great. We can go along our happy, merry way, forget that during the week, doesn't matter, do whatever we want. I would not be the pastor you need if I left you without defining how to love other people. So be kind. Be kind. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Not hard-hearted. Tender-hearted. Forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You know, this is not some trite little nicety that we quote when people are being ugly. You know, I will say that I use this illegally, I guess. There was a lady who came to me. She was just a complaining. Just a complaining. And no, it wasn't here in our church. She was just a complaining. Blah, 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 blah. And she was complaining about somebody. And I'm at a point, and I guess I have been for a while, where I don't sit well with that. That doesn't sit well with me. And I have to say something. And she said, she was just blah, 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 this person, and then blah, blah, blah. And I said, and I did it like this. I did it like this. I said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Jesus Christ forgive you. And she said, oh, yeah, 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 be kind, be kind. But it just fell out of my mouth because I was just, I let it get to me. Because she was, rah, 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 and I just thought, my goodness, I can't handle this anymore. Praise God, Scripture came out, amen? Praise God, Scripture came out of my mouth, and it wasn't me telling her, well, my goodness, you need to get your life together and stop complaining about this lady. This is ridiculous. Why are you coming to me doing this? Blah, blah, blah. I could have just given her, as my mom used to say, down the... But I didn't. All that came out was, be kind one to another. I just let it just fell out of my mouth, and I thought, ouch. And she said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just was like, wow, whoa, what just happened? You know, and I thought, my goodness. So this is not really some little nicety that we use on people. You know, this is not, we don't throw that at people. But this is a truth from God's Word that should be allowed to mold us into the likeness of Christ. Be kind one to another. It doesn't, notice again, I always like to point this out, there's not an expiration date on this verse. Be kind to one another. Boom. Oh, it doesn't run out. Well, be kind until it's the fifth or seventh time, and then after that, then you can just be real ugly. No. No, there's not an expiration date on this. Tender-hearted. Oh, I got to be tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Oh, now, wait a minute, preacher. You're asking, that God's asking too much. Is he? He forgave you. He forgave me. He's not going to call on us to do something and not enable us to do it. He's not going to tell us you need to forgive your neighbor and just watch you and try to attempt to do it and not give you any strength, any power to do it. God's going to do it. He's going to give you what you need. You know, he's waiting on you to step out there. He's waiting on you to make the move. He's ready to help you to do what he's called you to do. But you and I, we've got to step out. He's got to see that we're ready, that we're willing to be kind. Why? God tells us to be kind. Why does God have to tell us to be kind? Maybe because there are unkind people in our world? Maybe because God knows what's happening in our world and he sees people? And he knows that sometimes they're unkind. He's telling us to be kind. There's a reason. There are people in this world who are not like Jesus. Notice that, again, there's no time limit on the kindness. No part where it runs out. And no time where it runs out. The next part of the verse says we're to forgive each other. That, again, is hard. But we're commanded to love others. And one way we do that is by forgiving them. Those in our world without the leadership of Christ in their lives, those people in the world, people in our world that do not have Jesus in their heart are holding grudges right and left. They will do it till the day they die because they don't see any other way. That's all they know to do. I don't like that person. They offended me. I'm going to put them down in my book. I'm not talking to them ever again. I'm going to hold a grudge against them for the rest of their lives and my life. That's the way I'm living. Wow. What a sad way to live. What a sad way to live. But they're out there. There's people who need to understand that forgiveness is important, and they need to be forgiven, maybe by you or maybe by me. Those in our world without the leadership of Christ are going to live that way. But God desires we have peace one with another. God desires that we live at peace. 1 John 3:18 says, "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed." To say we love someone is nice. To manifest, to show that love to someone, touches deeper than just words. God loved us in words, but He also loved us in deeds. Jesus tells us, "For God so loved the world." He loves the world. Great. What about it? "That He gave His only begotten Son." God loves us. He made that clear in the giving of His Son. Forgiveness of sins can be offered to all who would trust and believe in Him. And what He did on the cross, it was through the giving of His Son. God showed that He loved us by providing a way out of eternal punishment for our sins. Loving people is something that must be done out loud. It cannot be done from a distance. Love not acted upon is love not manifested. Love not acted upon is love not manifested. People can't see it if it's not acted out. They don't know. "Oh, I know they love me." They never showed it. Well, do they? Do they love you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, we find some very clear instructions on how to love. Love is patient. Love is patient. When dealing with others, even though they may not be very agreeable, we are to be patient. The verse continues, says, "Love is kind, it is not jealous." This is the love of God. It is kind, it's not sarcastically rude or jealous. God's love does not brag and is not arrogant. There's a certain expectation that God has of each of us when it comes to how we live. We're not to be braggarts or to be arrogant. If we're truly seeking to love people, then we treat them in a way that does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. In a way that it is not provoked, nor does it take into an account a wrong suffered. That's tough. That's tough. We like to take into account a wrong suffered, don't we? I'll never remember, never forget in the first grade when that little boy hit me in the face. I'll never forget that, and I'll never forget. Boy, we're funny that way. We take into account wrongs. If you were to run into the boy that hit you in first grade years later, is that what you would think about? "You know, you hit me in the first grade. I hadn't gotten over it." They may look at you and look at your face and say, "No, you hadn't." But I mean, my goodness, we're not to take into account a wrong suffered. We're to move ahead. And it is tough because our world tells us when somebody's wronged us, we seek revenge. Whole movies have been made about people taking revenge and going after the ones who have hurt them. In fact, you know what? Many people would not even bat an eye if we were to take action against someone who has hurt us. The world would not say, "Hey, what are you doing? You don't need to do that. What are you doing? Well, they hurt me. Oh, well, wait a minute." The world would say, "Yeah, well, they deserved it, you know." That's our world. But God's love enables us to not take into account a wrong suffered. God's love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. If we're to love people, then we're not to revel in their misdeeds. Ha ha, look at them. They messed up. Boy, ha ha, that's tough for them. No, no, no. We don't revel in someone else's misdeeds or bad situations that they encounter. We're not to spread what they did to others. Love does not rejoice in evil, but in the truth. God's love celebrates that which is good and right. God's love bears all things. His love puts up with a lot. In other words, God's love in us is doing what? It's looking for the best in others. It's looking for the best in others. Not looking for the, "Oh, well, I'm going to watch them till they slip up. Look at this. Watch them slip up." No, we're looking for the best in others. Hoping for the best. Looking for the best. Not God's love in us should cause us to have to trust others' intentions until they're proven wrong. God's love in us is always ready to share the benefit of the doubt. God's love also endures all things. Love is not overwhelmed It hangs in there. It continues in the face of tough times. It hangs in there. Boy, that's a lot of explanation about love, but God wants us to understand how to love people. He really does. It's through His love, not whatever we can muster up for the moment. Sometimes we can muster up a little manufactured love towards somebody. You seen that in people? You know, they get that oh, I love you too. And you know they don't. But the smile on their face, oh, surely they mean it. No, you know. Goodness, let us not be the ones that are doing that in our world. People really need, they will know if you care and love them. They will know it. They're looking, they're watching, they will know. In order to love those who are not like us, we must, as the phrase out there is popular now, lean in to the love of God. We've got to lean into the love of God. We've got to allow God to love people through us. And not think, oh, what do people think? Oh, well, what if... We do the right thing. That's what we do. We're God's children. And God has told us to love each other. God has told us to love people. Then we're going to do it. And we're not going to care or worry about how it's taken, because God has told us to do it, and we're going to do it, and we're going to be able to put our head on the pillow at night and know that we've done the right thing. Because who matters most, the opinion of the world or God?
Thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement. That's a mighty good question to ask, and a good question to ponder, to think about, to consider. Who do you listen to the most? Whose approval do you seek the most? Do you love God? Show Him. Do you love people? Show them. They need to see it. They need to experience the love of God, and they need to experience it through you. Yes, you. Until next time, this has been Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Go, and as you go, share the good news. Walk with Jesus.